You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 24th of June 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Once again, we've reached the end of another week. The weekend is almost here and you are either listening in your lunch hour, on the way home from work, or perhaps you're downloading this later on. But one thing is certain, you have all tuned in today to hear from my co-host, Grandpa Dan, all the way from Texas. Grandpa, good day, sir. How is life treating you?
Well, you know, it's really hard for me when we open these shows, whether it's this or the roundtable, just not to open with whining about how hot it is. If you live in Texas, you should expect it to be hot. You shouldn't be surprised. But yeah, that's about all I can do because it is. It's really, really hot. We set a record in the early 1980s, I think, was the hottest summer on record in Texas. And I think we're on track to beat it this year. I mean, it got hot early. So, yeah, I still want to figure out some way to bring Dr. Johnson down here so he can relish the warmth with me.
Well, I wonder what the heat is like in Georgia, a small Georgia city we're going to be talking about today, because some of the residents have been getting rather hot under the collar. Some members of a small Georgia city have branded it a racist blight on their downtown community. Others insist it is merely cataloguing a period of American history that should be understood and not erased. One thing is for certain, however, and it is that the reopening of a controversial Confederate memorabilia store that displays explicitly disturbing racist souvenirs is once more dividing the city of Kenosha, 26 miles from Atlanta. Wild Man's Civil War Surplus opened its doors again on Main Street on June 14th, nearly 5 months after it shut following the death of the founder, Dent Wild Man Myers, at the age of 90. The business had been a flashpoint for protests and rallies calling for its closure in 2020 amidst the national outcry over the murder of George Floyd by police officer Derek Chauvin in Minneapolis. And yes, they are still filling news stories up with the outcry after George Floyd. And what's really going on here is that this is a museum. I mean, they call it Civil War Surplus, but it's basically a museum. And what they're describing here as racist souvenirs are not for sale. They are relics of the Civil War. And this really sort of brings up this question, you know, should we just pretend that we don't actually have this history? We need to have relics of history so that we can look at them, so that we can understand what went on there. There's a shop there as well, and it sells Civil War stuff. It sells souvenirs for the area. But the supposedly racist things that they have here, they're basically relics. They're museum exhibits. And yet people are getting all upset about this and saying that it should be banned. Grandpa, what do you make of this? You're the one that found this article, and I'm pleased you did. It's an interesting article. What do you make of this?
Well, I mean, for starters, it's a reflection of how, you know, of course, everything, you have these flashpoints with those that I have deemed the eternally offended. They just go around looking for something to be offended. Now, it seems like for people in the U.S. anymore, their viewpoint of history, especially when it comes to the eternally offended, is like this movie history, you know, like some sort of Hollywood movie, like every side, you know, one side has to be this ridiculous cartoon villain and the other side has to be the virtuous good guy that can do no wrong no matter what. And of course, history doesn't work that way. And if you're going to really understand history, and it is important to understand history, that's the problem. You have to understand history so you understand where you're at now and where you're going. You have to have a realistic look at history. And you know, this is, as you said, largely just kind of a museum souvenir, and nobody would have even heard about it, except, of course, it's getting international attention here on the Daily Mail. But you have to have an understanding of history. You can't whitewash history. You can't just erase history and say, well, this, I don't like this. This offends me. So we're going to, it should be wiped out and you shouldn't be allowed to see it. I mean, you can't study, you can't have an understanding of the world around you if you can't understand history. And yet, you know, this little shop here and the pictures attached to the article, the outside of the shop has these Confederate flags, you know, flying out front. I'm pretty sure nobody's going to just like wander in there going, I don't know what this place is. I mean, they're going to know when they that when they walk in there. I don't think random people are just going to wander in there and not know what it is. And, you know, again, it's just really displays of artifacts from histories. There's Civil War uniforms there, Civil War sabers and things such as that. And this is just once again another attempt to erase history in the name of a group of people is offended. And as we get into the story, the group of people offended, I see a markedly absence of black people. All the people they feature in the story that are offended by this and outraged are white people, virtue signaling white people who are trying to run around and say how virtuous and good they are because they're offended by this. It's absolutely, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous. But as I said, we'll get into that as we go on with the story.
Well, I should imagine black people don't want this sort of thing to be removed and hidden. They want to point to it and say that this is the sort of thing that went on 100 years ago. You can't pretend that it didn't happen. And it's not like the people that are running the store and the museum are saying, hey, yeah, let's celebrate this. This is brilliant. They're just putting forward these exhibits and saying that this is what life was like 100 years ago. Well, the store, which first opened in 1971, is now embroiled in controversy once again after being granted a new business license by the city council. The move led to the protest resignation of Councilman James Doc Eaton, who told the Daily Mail it promotes bigotry, hate and racism. They say they are representing history. I say they are representing white supremacy history. It has no place in modern America. So he's basically saying you can't show any history. I mean, America gets accused of being white supremacist because of slavery. We know all about that. But how are you going to portray history if you cannot actually portray anything that shows anything to do with slavery or white supremacy? I mean, the fact of the matter is, like up until the 1940s, it was just seen as a sensible way to be. And it was actually seen as white supremacy was seen as a supremacy of law and order and civilization throughout the world. It wasn't seen as meaning white people ruling over black people. It meant the supremacy of law and order and civilization. And the term itself evolved after the war to have these oppressive connotations. So he's basically saying here, this is white supremacy history and it has no place in modern America. So you just got to pretend that it didn't happen. That's why I don't think black people are too upset about this, because they want to show this. They want to show them the sort of things that were said. I mean, you've got some jokey items there, and that just basically tells you that was seen as a sense of humor at the time. I mean, today it would be seen as evil, hateful, what have you. But clearly back then it was just seen as a sense of humor and sort of jokey items that they had there, and they're basically putting them on display and saying this is an artifact from 100 years ago. What do you make of the protest resignation of Councilman James Doc Eaton, Grandpa?
I'm sure he'll be really missed. I'm sure he was really contributing a lot to the betterment of the city. I think that last line is the real takeaway. It has no place in modern America. History has no place in modern America. The thing about history is this. I mentioned this in the first segment, is again, there's nuance here. You know, I mean, there is not this Hollywood version of history where one side is virtuous good guys, one side is evil bad guys. That's not the way the world works. Anybody with any common sense understands that. There's nuance there. I mean, we just had this Juneteenth holiday. You know, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. Of course, he only freed the Southern slaves. He freed the Southern slaves hoping to cause a slave rebellion to make the South split their military forces to put down the slave rebellion to help the Union militarily. You know, it was a tactical move. He didn't free the Northern slaves at the time. You know, that was a cynical move by Lincoln, just to try to help their war effort. Nuance here. The slave uprising didn't happen. You know, they spread this word, oh, Abraham Lincoln has freed the slaves, yet the slaves didn't uprise in the South. Why is that? this is what I say. You lose the nuance. They try to whitewash, and pun intended, they try to whitewash this history of the Civil War and make it about evil white supremacy, as we just read here. And yet, you know, historically, there were black regiments that volunteered, that were made up of free slaves, that volunteered to fight for the Confederacy. That happened. You know, they try to whitewash that and pretend those black people that chose to do that somehow just don't exist. They don't exist because it doesn't fit the Hollywood narrative. Because if you say, well, how come these freed slaves from the South voluntarily joined Confederate regiments and fought for the South? Well, because there's nuance here. They had their personal reasons for doing that. They had their beliefs and their reasons for doing that. Instead, though, they have to, these type of people that drive me crazy like this, these eternally offended, they're so simplistic and childish in the way they think. They have to see things, like I said, like a Hollywood cartoon, like a Hollywood version of one side's good, one side's bad. You can't make the Civil War all about, oh, it was about oppressing and being mean to blacks, if you had black regiments that volunteered to fight for the South. And yet, when you do this, when you try to make it about white supremacy, then you take away from those ancestors, you know, for those black ancestors that chose to fought for the Confederacy. And instead of being able to have a historical conversation and say, wow, why did they choose to do that? That would be, like, for me, I sit here and say, that's a really interesting topic. Why? Why did they choose to do that? Obviously, it wasn't because it was all about, you know, the South was all about just being mean to blacks. You know, these blacks chose to join the Confederacy and fight for the South for some reason. I think that's very interesting. But as you see, you get this dumbing down. We're not going to study that. Can you imagine any university is going to look into that and say, wow, this is an interesting aspect of the Civil War? No. You have this whitewashing of history. You have to dumb it down. You have to make it all about, well, the South was white supremacy and evil, and the North was somehow virtuous and good.
Well, they're just trying to cover up the complexity of it all, aren't they? They try to make it today as if the Civil War was about freeing slaves, when clearly it wasn't. While stepping deep inside, visitors are confronted with shocking, offensive displays of Jim Crow era memorabilia. But none of these particular items are for sale, and they are located in an area at the back of the store referred to as its museum. That's because it is a museum. The business's newly granted license, however, is only for a shop. Also on display in the museum section are garments from the Civil War era, such as a Confederate Army uniform and a Ku Klux Klan robe and hood that Leon says is from the 1920s. The robe is displayed on a mannequin with a noose draped around it and holds a large printed sign around its neck reading, "To my friends, acquaintances and enemies, you have made me what I am. You will be compensated accordingly. Probatum." The last word ominously means something is tried, tested, or proved. Again, this is just history. The Ku Klux Klan were not seen in the negative light that they are seen today back in the 1920s. I mean, there was that film, I forget the name of it, about the birth of America that featured the Ku Klux Klan. And they make out that it was just all about persecuting black people, but it was against Catholics as well. The Ku Klux Klan was just as much against Catholics as it was against black people. And this is an original Ku Klux Klan uniform. It's a part of history. That's why these Confederate Army uniforms are there as well. And I guess this probatum bit here, that must be part of the catchphrase. I think there's been three different iterations of the Klan. There was the first one straight after the Civil War, and they were helping to rebuild. And there was also a problem then with justice. You didn't have courts there. That's why this phenomenon of lynching came about. But it was also white people that were lynched as much as black people. And the reason for that lynching is because it was too far to get people to a court, and they needed to have justice seen and done so that the place didn't just fall into lawlessness. So there was the first Klan, and then I think there was the second Klan, which would have been here around about the 1920s, and then I think there was a third Klan which came about in the 1960s. And the first two of them were supported. There are pictures of masses and masses and masses of people in white robes, and politicians were a part of it. And it was condemned by the National Socialists. The Ku Klux Klan was condemned by the National Socialists in Germany. There's a famous propaganda picture of theirs which shows the Ku Klux Klan in a negative light. And as I say, they were very anti-Catholics just as much as they were anti-blacks. So it wasn't necessarily a racial thing. I think it was just about trying to trying to get law and order up and running again after the Civil War. But I mean, I'm over here on the other side of the Atlantic. Maybe my views are not the same as yours, Grandpa. What do you think of this Ku Klux Klan Robin Hood that is being displayed?
Well, you're on the right track. Immediately after the Civil War, the South was basically decimated. I mean, if you look at any country, especially that loses a war, I mean, you know, it's not hard to figure out that things aren't going to be running really well. Now, what you had, and of course, again, you have this modern history where they make the Klan all about, you know, picking and lynching black people. Like the Klan people didn't have anything to worry about immediately after the Civil War. They were going around harming blacks. But primarily, as you said, there was a breakdown. There was no real law and order. But beyond that, you had these carpetbaggers, and that was the term, historical term. You had these carpetbaggers come down from the north and essentially started looting the place. I mean, they just started like gobbling up resources, buying up land and things such as this, pennies on the dollar, and taking, they were exploiting and taking advantage of people's misery post-Civil War. This is part of what the original Klan came up to combat, because you had these carpetbaggers coming in and essentially, like I say, trying to profiteer off of people's misery. Now, I said going into this, I pointed out that the shop has the museum, the shop, whatever you want to call it. It's you look at the pictures from the outside, they got Confederate flags, and it's obvious from the outside what the place is. Now, let's just imagine for a minute that there was a Black Panther museum and they had all their Black Panther regalia, and I'm a white tourist walking through some town and I see this Black Panther museum. You know, I'm probably not going to go in there because I know that that's not aimed for me. If I go in there, I'm going to find something to be offended about. There's no doubt going to have things about black power and things that I'm going to see as derogatory against white people. However, I'm not going to run around and whine about the Black Panther Museum. I mean, that's just, I'm going to look at that and go, wow, yeah, that's not for me. Obviously, they're not catering to my interests, so I'm probably not going to go in there. And that would be that. But again, you have, in this case, you have these people running around, the eternally offended. Again, pretty much virtually all the people featured in the article that are outraged about this are white people. I doubt that the black people are really absolutely, you know, really actually worried about this hole in the wall little shop in some little Georgia town somewhere. And as a final thing, because they say one of the things they name as being so offensive here is the Confederate flag. And this, the Confederate flag is a representation of slavery. And it just, they make it like black people are so frail. Like if they see a Confederate flag, they just burst into tears. I have to point out that some aspect of the Confederate flag was a part of the state flag up to just a few years ago in places such as Mississippi. It was literally a part of their state flag. And, you know, I realize you live over there and a lot of people don't live in those areas. But like, if you go through Mississippi, Alabama, the Deep South, I mean, it is black people. I mean, that is like what you see everywhere. You had the Confederate flag as a prominent feature, as a part of, say, the Mississippi state flag, again, up to just a couple of years ago when they changed it. And yet you go to the state and it was predominantly populated with black people, and somehow they managed to survive. Somehow they managed to survive. They wake up every day and go, I'm in tears. I can't move because our state flag actually has the Confederate flag as part of its insignia. I can't live this way. It's all just absurd. It's absurd, and it really makes a mockery. It makes a mockery of people, and it makes a mockery of history.
Well, it's their heritage, isn't it? That's why it was put on the flag, because it was a representative of history and representative of the heritage of Mississippi. Well, while the garments are a well-known symbol of white supremacy, and I'll say they are today, and racially motivated violence, Leon has a much more cavalier view and dismissed concerns, telling the Daily Mail, "He's just been over there minding his own business. He hasn't strung nobody up. We have had many different Klan robes over the years, and they are all in collections now." So, I mean, these are museum pieces. It's basically just a uniform that is over there. The same as when you see the uniform of a knight in chainmail or whatever, and you see that in museums. And you do see plenty of shops that have museum sections. You get people that own shops and they've gathered a collection over the years and they put a little museum section in there. And that's what's going on here. This, whoever owned this, he had an interest in these things, so he collected them and he's made them available for people to look at. Many other black dolls and racist collectibles are around other more tangible exhibits such as Civil War swords, weaponry, ammunition, and clothing. See, none of this stuff is for sale. These are museum exhibits. These racist collectibles are basically things like dolls, joke items from the Jim Crow era and before that. And basically they tried to keep the communities separate. So they highlighted things that were different between white people, things that were different between black people, to encourage the communities to remain separate. And if you look at the crime rates back then, there was much lower crime rate. I think there was more of them in school. I think there were more families that stuck together. And, you know, you look at it and they say, oh, it was so terrible. Black people had to drink from a different water fountain to white people. Why is it so terrible that you're living amongst your own people? I mean, we're told that this is an awful thing today, to be living amongst your own people, but surely that is the most conducive way to live. And if you look at the statistics, I think black people were much better off in the Jim Crow era than they actually are now. When you look at the number of the families that stuck together, when you look at the crime rate, and when you look at the schooling as well, I think all of that was better than it is today. And getting back to this article here, there's also an election campaign poster for Alabama's segregationist governor, George Wallace. Segregation is the way that things were back then. You had the black areas and you had the white areas. It wasn't something that was seen as a wicked, evil way to be. It was just the way that people lived. In the store at the front, Confederate flags, an abhorrent reminder to African Americans of the country's dark past, are on sale amidst books and other collectibles. Pictures depicting neo-Nazis are also on display. So again, if it's showing the history of the Ku Klux Klan, the Ku Klux Klan did the 60s version, they did get involved with the American Nazi Party, who are genuine neo-Nazis. I guess that's what they're referring to there, but it's just like one or two pictures of people. Perhaps it was the owner of the museum that was going to visit them. But this abhorrent reminder to African Americans of the country's dark past, I mean, it's basically the flag of the South. And as you said, Grandpa, there were black people that fought under that flag. They fought for the army in the South. They were loyal to the part of the country that they were a part of. I mean, it was the North against the South. It wasn't the North trying to liberate all the black people in the South. It was the North against the South, and the South lost. And as you say, then these carpetbaggers went in, and the flag itself was never seen as being a symbol of racism until very recently. I think actually to do with Dylann Roof, because Dylann Roof murdered black people, a horrific crime. I think he went to a church and he killed black people. And I think he was wearing a Confederate flag, or there was pictures of him with a Confederate flag. And it was after that that they decided, just seemed to suddenly decide, that the Confederate flag was a symbol for racism. I think it was to do with Dylann Roof. Maybe I'm wrong, Grandpa. I mean, has this been going on for years, or is it just a recent thing?
Well, I kind of got ahead of myself, I guess, earlier, but, you know, with pointing out that this is just written by people that don't know anything about what they're talking about. Again, like the Mississippi flag, it had a predominant Confederate flag as part of it up to just a couple of years ago. And again, if you go to those places, I mean, forget going into the black neighborhood. I mean, the whole state is the black neighborhood. I mean, that's the reality here. And yet they weren't bothered by it. It wasn't black people running around demanding the flag be changed. That was being demanded by the eternally offended. I'm glad you pointed out the fact, has any of this made anything better? These people that go around making it their business to be eternally offended and to virtue signal over these things, again, it has nothing to do about improving anybody's life, because all you have to do is look at the results. We've had this hysterical movement to discard history, whitewash history. And, you know, are race relations better today than they were 10, 20, 30 years ago? I mean, that's all somebody has to ask. Are things worse or better now than they were just a few decades ago? And I think the answer, you know, is quite obvious. It's a shame that people don't spend more time talking to older people that are alive in these days. And of course, as time goes by, we lose those people. I remember years ago, I had a discussion with an older person, and they were telling me that back in the 50s or 60s, somewhere around in that time frame, they worked somewhere with a black guy. And he was having a discussion. He was actually pretty good friends with this black person. And the black guy was, you know, he was asking, because the black guy was, you know, born and raised in a southern state. And he asked him about all that, because this, I believe, was around the time all the segregationist stuff was going on. And he laughed and he said, you know, the black guy told him, he said, you know, I can really now I can walk through any white neighborhood and it's fine. He says, but you better not come to my neighborhood. You know, it's not going to be safe for a white person. He said, yeah, I grew up in segregated schools. He says, which meant that we got the textbooks that the white kids used 2, 3, 4 years ago, but they were still good textbooks. Our teachers were all black and they worked really hard and they were really strict and made sure that we learned what we had to learn. He says, you know, we had used desks. We had the used textbooks. But he said they were good textbooks. They were the same textbooks the white kids were using just a couple years before. It's not like they were just given, you know, a board and something to scratch on. He said, and we had good schools. We had good teachers that taught us. We were educated. This was an educated man that grew up in a segregated school. But all of this kind of nonsense whitewashes all of that. It erases that and claims that black people are this eternal victim. They were never able to be educated. They were never able to make a life for themselves. And it's all a lie. I mean, it is all a lie. It goes back to the guy's line about modern history. They want to start history. Every day is day zero. History didn't exist. Now it's what's acceptable today. And it really does. It's really upsetting because you go back and that was not people's actual experiences. You know, I'm not saying that the Deep South was, you know, utopia for black people in the Jim Crow era. You know, obviously not. But it wasn't this hell on earth hellscape that they try to pretend it is now. Because, again, that's just not the way history works.
Well, it's not the way white people work, you know. We're charitable people. We try to do what we can to help others. And we would have been doing what we could to help black people at the time there. Clearly, they thought, well, how about we pass on these textbooks and all the stuff that we've got after a couple of years? We'll pass it on to this group and help to raise this group up. And that's obviously evolved to today where we have multicultural schools. And now we have the black community saying, well, no, we want to go back to black teachers because we can't empathize with the white teacher. So they're wanting to go back to how they were before, that we're told is this terrible thing. But I can't believe that white people were trying to oppress or be mean to black people in this time. I think they were just trying to work out the best way to have a functioning society when you have two different people groups in that society. And they just thought, well, the best way to have it functioning is to have the two groups separate rather than mixing them all together. And as I say, I think you saw that there was a much lower crime rate back then and families used to stick together. And I think on a lot of measures, black people were better off back then than they are today. And I should imagine if you ask them how racist society was, they'll probably tell you today it will be the same percentage saying how racist it is today as back then. And a lot of the rebel rousing was done by Martin Luther King. And it was the communists that were trying to make these groups fight against one another. And there were a lot of black people that didn't support Martin Luther King, didn't support the communism, didn't support all this civil rights, because they were happy with their own people and happy with their own water fountain. I mean, it's not that terrible to be living amongst your own people. Maybe they could have advocated for more for them, new textbooks or what have you. But essentially, to be segregated and to be living amongst your own people rather than all mixed up and jumbled up with everybody else and everybody speaking different languages, surely that's going to be the most conducive way to live. Well, Marjorie Leon, who relaunched the business after working there with Myers for 35 years, refused to directly answer if the store was racist. I'm not going to say what a person is or not, she told the Daily Mail. I learned a long time ago that people will think what they want to think or believe what they want to believe. Some people have decided that this shop is a promotion of hate and bigotry and racism. You do not have control over how people feel or react. I'm not worried about people's opinions because everybody is entitled to their opinions. Just because your opinion is different does not make yours any right or wrong. So she's saying it's all in the way that people look at this stuff. I mean, they may see hate, bigotry and racism, but she's just putting this stuff there and saying, look, this is the way things were 100 years ago. This is a museum. I'm not promoting hate by putting this stuff there. I'm keeping it alive, the memory alive, so people can actually see the way that things were, and then they can make their own opinion. I mean, it does seem today is if you have a different opinion to the mainstream one, then they just want to censor you, silence you. They don't want to discuss your opinion. You're not allowed to have a different opinion anymore. What do you make of what Marjorie Leon has to say here, Grandpa?
Well, sometimes, you know, wisdom comes out of, you know, the words of people that are clearly just simple, plain people, you know, and she's absolutely right. You don't have any control over what other people are going to think or say and things such as this. And I just want to go back real quick, if we can, to what you were saying about, you know, the segregation. And again, they try to portray this ridiculous narrative that, you know, it was so horrible. Just imagine for just a moment going back. If we were allowed to look at history instead of this stupid, you know, made up version that you try to promote now. Imagine you had all black schools and taught by black teachers, all black students, no other students, they're just black people, all black schools, no violence. You know, no disrupting the classroom, no people jumping up and down on the desks and wiling out and all of this craziness. There was discipline. The kids were learning. As you said, you had families intact at the time. I think if you, you know, again, if you're going to look at things objectively, are things better now or are they worse now? If you're going to look at that objectively, you have to say, well, you know, this whole experiment of forcing this on everybody hasn't really worked out. Now we've come full circle, as you've pointed out, where black people are saying, you know, we really want our own police, our own judicial system, our own schools. You know, we don't like this. So if they don't like it and they don't want it, and if we look at it and say, yeah, it's kind of been an abject failure, then why are we continuing this experiment? I mean, really, they claim this, they're doing all of this in the name of this is what black people, what's best for them. But the black people are saying, we don't want this. We want our own areas. We want our own schools. We want our own cops. We want our own. Why not just give that to them? I mean, that's what they want. And objectively looking at history, it was better for them. I mean, again, all black school. And no violence, no problem with undisciplined classrooms. And yet we're told that no, this is the trajectory we have to keep going on. Again, this is history. It's not this whole notion that, oh, this is racist and promotes bigotry and blah, blah, blah. That's just nonsense. It's just simply history. It is what it is. There's going to be nuance. There's going to be things that you look at and in, you know, the context of the modern world, you go, yeah, that's offensive. You couldn't have that now, but it wasn't offensive then. So why wasn't it? It should be interesting. And it's such a shame. I know we focus a lot on history here, Radio Albion, because history is, it's interesting. And when you really get into it and dig into it, there's always a nuance there. There's always different things going on. And it's so interesting. And you think that the average student that goes to university today doesn't learn any of that. Instead, it's history started today. Everything is judged and viewed through the context of what is acceptable today. And you can't get into any of that interest. You can't learn anything from it.
Well, I'm sure they thought back then that they were the most upstanding moral people they were in doing things the way that they were. Exactly the same as today. They think they're being the most moral and the upstanding, doing things the way that they are now. And they can't seem to imagine that it was the same people back then, 100 years ago, with the same, you know, wanting to do the right thing just as much as we want to do the right thing today. And it's just that this was the expression of it. We have to be careful not to project today's viewpoint onto things that were done in the past. And I mean, to say that this shop is racist, I mean, how can the shop be racist? I'm sure she doesn't mind who comes in there, whether they're black or white or whatever. She just wants people to come in the shop, buy something, have a look at the museum, and hopefully it will provoke some kind of discussion about things like we're having here today on the Daily Nationalist. Well, she continued, everything in this shop represents a moment in time. It cannot hurt you unless you allow it to hurt you. Nowadays, everything is offensive. The flags, the shop, anything and everything. If it doesn't agree with that person's thought processes, then you are racist and evil. And that is just not reality. Everything is educational. How you apply it is on you. Our past is what has gotten all of us here. And very sensible what she's saying there. It's all in the way that you look at things. I mean, how can a flag hurt somebody? It can't. I mean, when you think about it, how can words on a screen hurt somebody? You know, if you don't like somebody's opinion, then don't look at that person's opinion. Don't end up having a debate with them. Go and go somewhere else. I mean, you can understand kids have problems, you know, with the kids at the class or what have you, and they could get bullied on social media. And once you're an adult, if you don't like what somebody is saying online, you just go and find somebody else. If you don't like what somebody has to say on Twitter, just block them. You know, why is it that we have this idea that we should be shielded from other people having a different point of view, and they should just be completely censored, and parts of history that we find uncomfortable should just be removed, and there should be no museums discussing it. And Grandpa, what do you think of what she has to say here?
It's very much on point, and it just shows that common sense in this modern day, you know, comes off as being really wise, but it's just actual, you know, common sense. Like I said, how is anything in the shop going to hurt somebody? Well, it's not. It's not going to hurt somebody. And like you said, I'm sure she doesn't care who comes in there. I doubt if I was a black person, you know, for some reason walking down the street in that town as a tourist and I saw this shop, I don't know, maybe I would go in there out of curiosity, you know. But I mean, when there's Confederate flags hanging and memorabilia and Civil War Museum, you're going to kind of assume what you're going to see in there. I mean, you've got some common sense. I really find it offensive. And I don't want to come on. I mean, I don't think it's my place to be offended. Unlike these virtue signalers, and this is something that really I think sets us apart from these ridiculous virtue signalers, is I think it's very offensive. What I find offensive are these people that have this attitude like, oh, is their job to stand up, you know, and stand up and like baby, it infantilizes. It really infantilizes black people. Like they're incapable of making decisions for themselves. We have to run around and protect them because they're little children. I mean, if you're a black person walking down the street as a tourist and you saw this shop, well, you look, oh, Confederate, there's flags up here, I'm gonna go in there, I'm probably gonna see black dolls from the 1910s or the 1920s. You know, you know what you're walking into. You're not a child. You could go in there and look around and be like, wow, you know, that was a thing back then. You might actually ask if you could buy one of these historical black dolls because you would find it interesting. I really, really, again, we're always being accused of this racism nonsense. And yet it's these people that are the ones that try to act like these, like blacks are incapable. They're like little children who could just be destroyed at an instant if they see a Confederate flag, even though they lived in states that had a Confederate flag as part of their state flag their whole lives and somehow managed. It's just, I that's the stuff that I find really offensive, Sven. I don't find someone having a shop like this. Like I say, if they had a Black Panther shop there and I was a white person, I would probably go, yeah, that's not really tailored for me. I'm not going to go in there. You know, I mean, I just find it really offensive. And again, it's not my job to be offended on the part of black people, but just looking at it objectively, I don't know how you look at this and not say, wow, that's really offensive. They think that black people are so childish that, you know, they can't decide for themselves whether or not they'd want to go in there and look around.
You know, I don't think I'd be offended at all at a Black Panther shot. I mean, I'm interested in any outpouring of nationalist emotion, and if people want to look at white people as being different to them and point out, you know, negative aspects of white people and they're from a different people group, I mean, why would it bother me? It's not going to bother me. I'm concerned with my own people group, and I support nationalism in all people groups, and I'm interested in outpourings of nationalism in all people groups. So, you know, I would probably find a Black Panther museum shop, I would probably find that interesting. I mean, so long as they're not an outlawed terrorist organization, that is. But black nationalism, yeah, I support black nationalism. Well, former Councilman Eaton's daughter, Dr. Chris Eaton Welsh, is so disturbed by the reopening, she is moving her chiropractor business from the main street to an area out of the city in protest. That store is a store that promotes nothing but bigotry and hate and division, she told the Daily Mail. It's our main street, so it's on a strip where families walk and shop, so people inadvertently walk in there and don't know what they're walking into. There is Ku Klux Klan memorabilia all over the place. There are dolls and other items that depict African Americans in a very negative light. Eaton Welsh, who was a councilwoman for 6 years, took to Facebook this week to apologise for not doing enough to oppose the business for 20 years, sparking an online backlash from some sections of the community. So the community weren't actually very impressed with her saying this. What do you make of what she has to say here about how people inadvertently walk in there without knowing what they're walking into, Grandpa?
Yeah, we've already covered that. I mean, there's no way, if you look at the pictures from the articles, there's no way you don't know what the shop is. This idea, again, this infantilizes, this makes black people into like little children that can't make any decisions for themselves. And again, it's not my job to be offended on behalf of them. They can take care of themselves. They could just inadvertently walk in there and then just be struck by this horrible racism. Now, we have to point out, once again, the Eatons, Dr. Eaton and Councilperson Eaton, they're not black people. This is virtue signaling white people. And what's so funny is these virtue signalers, at the end of the day, they go along with what they think the group wants. That's why they do this. The only reason they're virtue signaling over this stuff is they think they're going to get likes on Facebook. They think they're going to get likes on social media because they believe this is the approved thing. This is the approved thing for the group to do. They don't have any actual beliefs. They don't have any principles. They're just virtue signaling because that's what they're told. This is what the good people do. What's ironic about this is if they were in the middle of a lynching mob in the 1950s, they would be the ones chanting, string them up, because that mindset isn't, well, wait a minute, hold on, is this right thing to do? They just go along with what, you know, they're told. This is what the group says to do. This is what, you know, this is the narrative we're told to do. They're not, they don't do these things because they have a moralistic, you know, an actual principled standpoint. These people literally just go along with what they're told. This is what good people do. So that's what you do. So they run around and do that thing. And it doesn't matter what the thing is. Again, if the group said, let's go lynch these black people in the 1950s and these people were there, they would be doing that. They would be at the front of the thing chanting, string them up. Now, obviously, I'm kind of, you know, extrapolating there. I'm kind of making an assumption. But really, when you have that mentality where you don't actually have principles, you don't actually have things you believe in, what you believe in is what you're told to believe in and what you're told the group is doing. That's the mindset you get. They're not doing this because they think it's a virtuous. They're just doing this because they're told that's what virtuous people doing. If she really had a principled stance, she wouldn't need to go announce it on Facebook hoping for pats on the back. This is just empty virtue signaling to tell the group I'm a good person. It's not about black people. It's not about protecting somebody. This whole notion that somebody could inadvertently walk into this place is just stupid on its face. You know, this is just about how they feel. It's about going along with what the group wants. It's not about having any sort of principled beliefs.
It's just groupthink, isn't it? It's like when someone in a lab coat comes up and tells the test group to keep pressing this button, and then each time they press the button, they hear a scream from the other side of the wall, and they keep pressing the button because they've been told to by the person in the white coat. And it's the same thing here. It's just groupthink trying to virtue signal. She said, I needed to apologize because I've been sitting there expecting somebody else to handle this and hoping it would just go away. Literally, we hoped that when Dent Myers passed away, the store would just go away, and it didn't, and I should have done more, and I should have done more sooner. Eaton Welsh admitted that taking a stand had made her the subject of vitriol, but says people in the city support her view, but are just too afraid to say something. So I wrote a letter saying I owe this community an apology, she said, and it turned into, get out of here, we can't wait to see you go. Our community will be better if you're not here. This isn't racism, this is history, and you've got a problem. If you don't like it, go away. So, she didn't actually get the likes that she was hoping for. Wildman's customers on the day that the Daily Mail visited defended it staunchly while claiming they did not defend the Confederate policies. Mark Pentecost from Atlanta said his ancestors fought in the Civil War and were from Athens, Georgia, with the 16th Georgia Infantry. He said he came to the store in the 1990s and Myers helped him learn about his ancestors who had participated in the conflict. I do not condone the Confederate government's policies at the time of the Civil War, he told us. I'm here to honor the people that laid down their lives for the states that they were called upon to defend. They were not called upon to defend against slavery. They were called upon by their government to defend their states. I don't condone those policies and never condone slavery. I've never supported slavery or any policies to suppress any persons of color. I do it to honor my relatives that lost their lives fighting in the Civil War. So she really got a surprise here. She thought everybody was going to pat her on the back and say, aren't you doing well getting rid of this museum? But in actual fact, the people there didn't want to get rid of the museum. They wanted to honor the museum because they wanted to honor their history. What do you make of this turn up for the books here, Grandpa?
I think she probably wasn't even originally from the town. We're not told that in the story. But I do. I think it's interesting because everybody had the same reaction that I did. Well, if you don't like it, leave. You know, I mean, really, if you find the town and its history and this one little shop so offensive, then, you know, go somewhere else. You moved your practice to another location further away from the town. Well, just move it to another town if it really bothers you that much. You know, people are really getting sick of this. I mean, they really are. People are getting so sick of this. Of the eternally offended and their demands that everybody jump up and run around and kowtow to them because they are offended. You know, look, nobody cares. Nobody cares that you're offended. And this woman got a reminder that, you know, really, you're offended in your virtue signaling. Well, no one cares. you know, really, no one cares. She got the Daily Mail to care somehow. She got the Daily Mail to come and interview her. So she's trying to get her pats on the head from them. But at the end of the day, nobody cares. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. You know, leave somewhere else. Again, this ridiculous. Somebody could inadvertently walk in there. It's what is you are everybody's mommy now. It's your job to make sure that these childlike people might not walk in there. Yeah, I mean, it's just she's the one that's really offensive. That's why she says, oh, I actually got this, you know, vitriolic response from people. Well, maybe it's because you're being offensive. You know, maybe, you know, you're talking down to people like they have no sense. They might inadvertently walk in there. Maybe you are the one who's actually being offensive here, not some, you know, shop museum place that people can clearly see what it is.
Especially since it's been there 50 years. I mean, maybe people were offended at her attitude in hoping that it was going to be gone when the poor guy who owned it passed away. Finally, we have Civil War reenactor Mike Fleming from Lilburn, Georgia, slammed the controversies around Wildman as ridiculous. Myers was an educator and influenced many people, he said. I knew him for 50 years, and the research and the knowledge that he had was immense. The controversies around Wildman's are hypocritical. Wildman's serves as a museum, and Dent never did anything to promote or expand racism. So there we have it. It was just basically a museum, and we need to have museums there. We can't just get rid of our history and pretend it doesn't exist. What are your final thoughts on all of this today, Grandpa?
Well, I mean, I think this Mr. Fleming, it just really summed it up. You know, really summed it up. Obviously, the people in the community haven't really been bothered by it because this woman got such a negative backlash reaction from her virtue signaling on social media, trying to make a big deal out of this. And again, who is she? Who are these people to sit here and tell other people what they can and cannot see? You can't whitewash history. It takes away from everybody. We talked about it before. They whitewash this to try to make this simplistic view of history. Well, then what about the contribution of the Black Confederate soldiers? Do we just have to pretend that those men who went and fought and died for the Confederacy, they didn't exist, that they didn't, you know, their contributions, what they chose to do, that doesn't exist? It doesn't count anymore. Well, what about if those were your ancestors? How would you feel about that? Because we have to have this stupid childlike view of history where one side is super evil with no, you know, reasons for what they're doing, and one side is super angelic and virtuous and good and does what they do for the good of humanity. You know, what about the people that were there, and what about their actual contributions? At the end of the day, you don't help anybody by erasing or whitewashing history.
We need to honor our ancestors. If we stop honoring our ancestors, then we're headed to a very dark place. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with Albion Narrations. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.